This is the Hoboken Grace Podcast. Whether you're in the car or enjoying a walk, we hope you're having a great day. Just like every weekly conversation, we hope today's message deepens your relationship with God and builds into your life in a helpful way. For access to our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
Excellent. Well, good morning and welcome. As Brian said earlier, today we are wrapping up this conversation called Break Free. But before we get there, there's a couple things that I need to do that I want to walk you through. As Brian said, we're walking into the summer. One of the things that we know about the summer is that there's a lot of people move into our town. And during the summer, kind of our routines change a little bit. And so it presents us with a really incredible opportunity to be able to impact more and more people as we move through the summer. And so there's something that we did on the app that I want to invite you to be part of that's probably more significant than you think, because inside of our community, when people move into the community, or even as, again, as routines change and they start to look at, okay, what's this next year going to look like for me, or what's this summer going to look like for me, or what's the fall going to look like for me? One of the things that they begin to do is that they begin to search. And as they search, especially if they're beginning to search for churches, reviews are actually important. And so one of the ways that you can help us to impact our community is actually to leave a review for Hoboken Grace. So if you go on your app today, you'll see at the very beginning, the very top of that app, it says leave a review, and it just gives you three different places where you can do that. And I just want to encourage you to do that. Now, if you're going to go less than five stars, just ignore everything that I said. But it's and really just as a side note, please, if you're going to review other churches, don't. If you have a bad review, just don't do it, okay? It just doesn't look well. It doesn't reflect well for us as a church globally. That's just not the way to do it, okay? But I just want to encourage you. It's a great way for you to be able to help us, because as people are searching, that's what they go to. And many of you, I've had conversations with you and said, how do you find out about it? Well, you know, I Googled it, and you happened to be first on Google. And then I read the reviews, and it seemed like people really liked it, and so I decided to check it out. It's a really interesting way to be able to advance the kingdom, but it's actually a really significant way. And so I want to encourage you, before you leave today, to do that. Maybe on all of those platforms, maybe on the one that's most significant to you or the one that you use the most, to be able to let people know what God's doing in your life as you've been a part of our family here. Also, I want to be able to speak to those of you who are aware of what happened in my own family this past week, and some of you are aware of it because of different prayer emails and things like that that went out. But this past week, my dad actually had a heart attack, had to have emergency quadruple bypass surgery on Friday, and obviously that shook us as a family. But I want to let you know that he's doing great. He's actually been moved out of the ICU. He's in a regular recovery room, and so he's doing really, really well. And sometimes it's hard to make sure everybody knows about that, so I just want to let you know about that for those of you who are praying for him. If you haven't been with us, again, for the last couple of weeks, we've been in the midst of this Break Free conversation. And as we come together today, I want to bring this to a close in a unique way, because we've been looking at all the different ways that Jesus brings freedom into our life. And from the beginning, we've looked at this mission statement of Jesus in Luke chapter 4, that the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. We've been looking at this reality that this is the mission of Jesus. This is why he's come. And so we've been asking over and over again, well, how do we experience that? How do we experience the life that he talks about in John chapter 10, verse 10? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they can have it to the full. How do we experience this? How do we live in this? We've seen all sorts of different ways that he brings life. We've seen, and hopefully this is ingrained in you now as we've walked through this series, Romans chapter 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you want to experience what Jesus wants to do in your life, the salvation of Jesus, then this is the relationship, not a reality statement, a relationship statement. This is the relationship you have to step into with him, that he becomes your Lord. And then as you step into that relationship, he begins to do all these amazing things in our life. He frees us from the transaction, you are love, not you might be love. He frees us from the penalty of our sin. You are forgiven, completely forgiven. He frees us from who it was that we were, and now we've been made new. You're born again, you're holy. He frees us from selfishness. Now we have the opportunity to be able to serve, to give our lives, to experience the life and the joy of generosity. And then as we came to this last conversation a couple of weeks ago, we saw that he frees us from other kings. And he steps into our life and says, listen, I don't want you to just know a good reason for living. I want you to know why it is that you're alive. And again, another thing that I hope that you've grabbed a hold of as we walk through this series, because it's so significant in the transformation of our minds, and I think especially for those of us who've been on this journey for a while, it's easy for us to begin to believe Jesus came to bring freedom from everything. No, Jesus didn't come to bring freedom from everything. Jesus didn't come to say you're free from having a king. No, Jesus came to free you from the kings that would destroy you. But he says if you're going to experience that, you have to actually experience me as king. And I can show you why you are alive. We're obsessed in our life with the question, what is worth living for? We're obsessed with this question, what is worth living for? And whatever we think is worth living for, we make that our king, we make that our Lord, we begin to live for that. We literally build our life around that, but it's not the most important question. The most important question is, what am I alive for? What am I alive for? Jesus wants for us to experience this, but if we're going to experience that, we have to orient our life around him. And that's where we left off. And we walked out of the conversation a couple weeks ago. It was a special conversation for me. My second son was baptized on that day. I'll probably never forget that conversation, never forget that day. But we walked out of it. We said, if we're going to experience this, we have to live lives of worship. We have to orient our life around him. And many of us said, man, I want to do that. I want for him to be the center of my life. I want to be able to experience this. I want to know what I'm alive for. But how do you do that? How do you do that? I mean, it's easy to say, well, I'm going to orient my life around him, but how? What are the things that I need to do? And I want to come back to that today, because I just want to talk about some practical things, and then I want to actually introduce you to someone that I think has really lived this out and give you a chance to be able to hear from him. But before we get there, I just want to talk about some things that are critical if you're going to begin to actually experience this and not just know this. And we don't come together on Sundays to learn information. We come together on Sundays to engage information so that we can live differently. And I say it over and over again, I'll say it again. If Sunday doesn't impact Monday, then we're wasting our time and you should have just slept in. It would have been better for you. It has to impact the way that we live our life. And so what does it look like to actually orient our life around him for where he becomes the Lord of our life? I think there are a couple things that are critical. And it begins with the dream. And one of the most significant things that you have to do is that you have to change the dream. And all of us have some type of dream that we're pursuing. All of us have some, and the way that I often talk about it in my own life, and sometimes I'll ask people this question, I say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I'll be talking to 60-year-olds and say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it's interesting because those who understand this principle, they actually interact with the question. Those who don't will tell me about what they've accomplished. But when you understand what Jesus is doing, when you understand that you're not just alive to find something worth living for, but that you're alive on purpose for a purpose, that there are things that God before the beginning of the world planned for you to do, then you realize the dream's never over. And so for those who have oriented their life around him and around his kingdom, it doesn't matter what age they are. I can ask them this question, what do you want to be when you get older? And they'll talk to me about where they're going and how they want to see God use them and how they want to impact the world around them. It doesn't matter how old they are. Why? Because the dream never ends when you realize that you're alive on purpose. But those things that you think life is worth living for, there comes a point in life where those things are past and you're not going to have a family anymore and you're not going to have all those things are past. That means you're living for, if you ever get to the point where you're past your dream, then you're living for the wrong dream. And so it begins with changing the dream. There's this point in Hebrews, and I was going to walk you through this passage, but I'm not going to walk you through it because it's just really, really long. But inside of Hebrews chapter 11, it's often referred to as the Hall of Fame of Faith. And inside this passage, The writer is calling us to engage the dream, and he's calling us to engage faith. He says, I want you to live a life of faith. In other words, live like what God says is true, even when you don't feel like it. Engage the reality that God created you on purpose, for a purpose, and step into that with all that you have. And then he begins to walk through this hall of fame, and he talks about these individuals who come before us, these great individuals of faith. And he talks about Abraham, and he talks about Moses, and he goes through all these, and then he gets into ones that you don't know as well. He talks about Gideon. And he's going through all these different individuals and talking about how they stepped out in faith, how they stepped out in faith. He says, listen, I want you to live in light of that. As a matter of fact, he says, surrounded by all these witnesses, surrounded by all these people who have lived this way, who have engaged life this way, I want you to live that way. And he's calling us to a different dream. And if we're going to experience what it means to orient our life around him, one of the most significant things that has to change is that you have to begin to dream of being in that list. That you say, if there's nothing else that happens with my life, the one thing that has to happen with my life is that my life fits on that list. What I want most is that when I come to the end of my life, that I'll be counted as one of those witnesses that people will look to and say, no, look how they lived a life of faith. Look how they trusted God when no one else would. Look how they followed God when no one else would. That you said, that's what I want. That's what I want my dream to be. There was once a moment where I actually had a dream, not like a dream like I think God. I just had a dream where I think I realized how I was living my life and I realized the significance of it. But I actually had a dream that I was in heaven and I was having a conversation with Paul and Abraham, and there were a couple of others around the table. And they were talking about what they had lived their life for, and they were talking about their stories. And at the time in my life, I was kind of obsessed with golf, and I loved golf, but it was not in a healthy place, and I was constantly thinking about golf. And I remember as inside the dream, it was going around the table, and then finally it came to me, and it came time for me to tell my story, and I began to tell them about how, and it was inside of a dream, you know how you can watch yourself doing something, even though you're kind of experiencing it secondhand? So I was watching myself do this, and I was like, don't tell them about golf, Chris. Like, please don't tell them. Like, but I watched myself beginning to talk, and it brought dread to my heart, because I'm like, man, you wouldn't believe how good I got at golf. And I started to share this with them, and I became physically sick watching myself do this, because they're like, golf, what are you talking about? I'm like, and then I'm trying to explain golf to Abraham. It's like, well, it's like this little white ball that we created, and there are these sticks that we would hit. He's like, you did what? And it was just, it was such a feeling of dread to watch me explain what I'd used my life for. When you sit with them and you tell them your story, what will they think about what you used your life for? You have to change the dream. And this is not necessarily easy, but you have to work at, when you begin to follow those other dreams, to call yourself back to, no, wait, when I tell my story at the end, what is it going to be? And what is it going to be about? And is it about his kingdom? Is it about the kingdom that he woke up every day looking to give his life to build, and how you could be a part of it? You have to change the dream. I want to get to the interview, so I'm going to have to move quickly. I'm going to have to keep going. Now, understand this. When you're working at changing the dream, one of the things that's really important is this: faithfulness, not accomplishment, is celebrated inside of God's kingdom. And so when I'm talking about changing the dream, it's not that you say, I'm going to do these amazing things for God. I'm going to do, no. It comes down to, okay, God, what do you want? What have you actually created me to live for? Because faithfulness, not accomplishment, is celebrated inside the kingdom of God. My grandfather gave his entire life to take care of his wife. No one knew about it, no one ever saw it, but I guarantee you that it's going to be celebrated as much as many of the prophets inside of Scripture. Why? Because he was faithful with what God called him to do. Faithfulness, not accomplishment, is celebrated. Don't think, okay, I got to do all these big things. No, you just have to figure, okay, God, how do I come to you? And I want for my life to be, I want for my life to matter. I want to give my entire life to your kingdom. And so I want to pour into this and then listen to how he leads you forward. But inside of that as well, these are the two things that are really kind of difficult to manage, because you realize faithfulness, not accomplishment, is celebrated. But you also need to make sure that the Spirit is holding you back, not you holding him back. You need to make sure in your life that the Spirit is holding you back, not that you're holding him back. There's this point in Romans chapter 1, and in Romans chapter 1, you actually see the Spirit holding Paul back. Let me take you to this passage. Romans chapter 1, verse 11 says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And he's talking to the church at Rome. He hadn't been to the church at Rome. He's writing this letter to them. I talked to you about that a couple weeks ago. He says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now. And one of the things that he talks about in this book is he says, listen, there's many times that I have wanted to come to you, but I've been prevented in doing so. And what actually prevented him from doing so was the Spirit. And the Spirit had said, no, it's not time for you to go yet. It's not time for you to go yet. It's not time for you to go yet. And so there are going to be times in your life where the Spirit of God says, no, this is what I want for you to do. But, and let me restate this, ensure the Spirit is holding you back, not you holding him back. In other words, what is it that you're asking for? What is it that you're asking God to do with your life? And are you just asking him to accomplish your dream? Are you asking him to use you in a powerful way inside of his kingdom? And the Spirit may say, no, I don't have that for you. I don't have that for you. I don't have that for you. I just want you to be faithful with this thing right here. I just want you to be faithful with your neighbor here. That may be true, but is it the Spirit that's holding you back, or are you holding him back? And I think if we're going to orient our life around the kingdom, it's got to be, I want to do as much as I possibly can. You're praying to be used as much as you possibly can. You're praying to be used in as powerful way as you possibly can. And the Spirit may say, no, this is what I have for you over here. And be faithful with this, be faithful with this. And that's what you should do. But make sure that you're asking for Rome. I want to get to the end of my story and find out that I live for less than I was created for. What are you asking for? Understand, faithfulness is celebrated more than accomplishment. It's not about spiritual ambition, but what is it that you're asking for? Make sure that the Spirit is holding you back. Sometimes I'll have conversations with people and they'll say, I just don't think I'm really called to that. I don't think I'm really called to that. And they use this as an excuse. Some of you know the story of the Good Samaritan. In the story of the Good Samaritan, there's this individual, he's lying in the ditch, and there's a priest who comes and he walks by, he doesn't actually do anything about it. And then there's a temple worker who comes and walks by, doesn't do anything about it. Finally, there's a Samaritan who's actually an enemy of the Jews, and these two shouldn't actually get along, but he's the one who actually stops. I have to believe that the priest walked by and said, I'm not really called to that today. Don't use that as an excuse. Jesus gives a story to show, no, you actually are called to it. And you shouldn't need God to intervene in your life for you to stop for the person in the ditch. Make sure the Spirit's holding you back, not you holding him back. Because you're not asking for it. If we're going to orient our life, we have to change the dream, we engage the Spirit. He may not take us to Rome, but that's what we're asking for. And we realize being faithful to what he's given us is what's celebrated, not accomplishment. And then the next one is really significant too. It may be more significant than even what I've put it in this order, but you need to rebel against your other kings. You need to rebel against your other kings. Listen to me. Idols are not managed. They should be destroyed. Idols are not something to be managed. Idols have to be destroyed. My favorite conversation as it pertains to this that I've had over the past 15 years, especially because our church is so young, and for many of us, the idol is that relationship. And if I just find that right person, if I find the right person, I'm finally going to be happy. If I find the right person, I'm going to find why I'm alive. I mean, this is what is worth living for, is to be able to have that person, have that family, and have those kids. And if I just got to find that right person. And so I'll be talking to someone about this, and they'll understand, okay, this is an idol in my life. They'll understand, this is a God in my life. This is the Lord of my life. I orient my life around that. And they'll say, but I just need to manage it. And I'll tell, and they'll ask me, they'll say, what do you think I need to do? And I'll say, okay, here's the plan. The next person who asks you out, I want you to say no. Even if you think they're the perfect person. And they'll look at me with a face of dread and horror. And every time they'll say, yeah, but what if they are the perfect person? And I look at them and say, they don't exist. That's the problem. You keep thinking there's a God out there that you're going to meet. That's not where life is found. And if you're going to destroy it, you have to rip it out. You have to rebel against your other kings. You have to destroy the idol. And so if your idol is the security of your savings, you need to give it away. Not some of it, all of it. Give it away. If it's your stuff, get rid of it. If it's your success, quit your job. You say, Chris, what are you? You're insane. Matthew chapter 18. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come. But woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. When Jesus talks about things that are physical, is he talking about things that are physical? No. What's he saying? Get rid of your idols. Isn't it weird that he talks about life in the passage? Isn't it weird that he says to enter life? He doesn't say enter heaven. He says enter life. That's odd. What is he talking about? He's saying there's all these things in your life that you think bring you life. But if you want to know real life, you want to know why you're alive, you got to get rid of the things. You got to get rid of the other things you're living for, the other things that are causing you to worship something other than what should be worshiped. You have to get rid of them. And I'm not kidding. Some of you need to leave your job. I actually heard someone talk about this past week. They're talking about how that idol of success could take hold of them. And they talked about how when they began to feel that and they felt like, man, I have to do this, otherwise I'm not going to be able to make it. I have to do this, otherwise I'm not going to move ahead in my career. I have to do this, otherwise I'm not going to get a good review. They said as soon as they began to feel that, they just wouldn't do it, whatever it was. You say, that's insane. No, that is trying to figure out why you're actually alive and not letting anything else be Lord of your life. You have to get rid of it. You have to rip it out. And so you need to decide, no, I'm going to say no to the next three people who ask me out, no matter who they are. You're like, wait, I thought it was one. Now it went to three? I hope he ends soon. It took you a while to get that part. Some of you need to walk away from your job. Some of you need to give it all away.
Some of you need to intentionally dress in an unattractive way for a while. I'm serious. You say, this is crazy. It's not really that extreme. Here's the thing. You don't have to experience the life that you were created for. But I will not stand up here and tell you how to experience part of it. This is it. This is how it really works. And if you want to know it, if you want to know it, you have to decide. I'm going to rip them out. The people who were in that list in Hebrews 11, every one of them at some point in their life, everyone looked at them and said, you're crazy. There's only one way this works out. And that's if God is actually who you said he is. Because without that, you're going to end up with nothing. You have to rip them out. And then the last thing is this. Be faithful with what you know. Because sometimes it gets overwhelming. I got to do all this. No, no. Work on getting rid of those things that you've been building your life around. Do whatever you have to do to get rid of them. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, literally, rip out your eyes. Do whatever you have to do to get rid of them. He's not talking about physical things, but you understand. He's, do whatever you have to do. And then be faithful with what you know. Listen to me. Listen to me. God leads through obedience. This is such an important principle. God leads through obedience. God doesn't lead through instruction. God leads through obedience. Almost every person in this room knows what their next step is. You want to know the step after that. It's not how it works. God leads through obedience. You see the next step after you take the step you already know to take. So be faithful with where you are.